was not that long ago that a certain author wrote a book. Kyle Eidelman wrote a book called Not a Fan. And with that book, I don't want to steal the thunder from it if you still want to read the book, but the essence of the book is that God doesn't need any more fans. God needs followers. It's one thing to stand off on the side of the road and just clap as life goes by. It's another thing to follow the one who leads us down the road. In that book, Eidelman had a chapter where he uses an acronym. And oftentimes, two things will happen when acronyms are used. First of all, if we see the acronym, it reminds us in a very quick way a message that's trying to get across. You know, we are the part of the ELCA. We're really good at acronyms in the Lutheran Church, as you know, but ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And there are other acronyms that go along with that. I remember while in school, it was really easy to use acronyms in order to study and to bring that acronym with me when it came time for the test and just hope that they asked the right questions, that you could actually use that acronym. Because if not, well, what's the power of the acronym? I think something else can happen with an acronym, however, and that is we forget what it stands for. That's a terrible thing. You're sitting there taking a test, and you have a word that's spelled out, and each letter of the word means something, and then all of a sudden it's blank, and it's time to take that class over again, I suppose. But Eidelman, in his book, he has an acronym, DTR, for one of his chapters. And that chapter especially intrigued me. DTR stands for Define the Relationship. Define the relationship. As I get older and older, I tend to think that life is just about that. It's about relationships with one another. God calls us into relationship. God spoke over the waters at the beginning of time to form relationship, to put everything into motion, to bring us here this morning. There's probably a few other things that you could have done this morning on January the 2nd of a new year. But you made a decision to be here this morning, probably for a lot of reasons. But the main reason is for us to follow our rabbi, Jesus, to stand in his shadow, and to know that in the shadow of the rabbi, that is where we receive all the strength we need. Because we're not leading, we're following. Well, Eidelman in his book, he gives an example of how he lived out to find the relationship or something that he experienced one day with it. He went on a date. He only knew this girl for a day or two, and they decided, hey, let's go out on a date. They go to a restaurant, and as the appetizer is ordered, they asking questions about the family, since they don't know each other that well. Where's your family from? Where's yours from? You know, and what do they do for a living? Blah, blah, blah. When the appetizer is over, then it came time for the entree. When the entree was served, it was, what things in life do you enjoy doing? What makes life go for you? What are some of your interests? What movies do you like? Do you read? And this and forth and so on. And then when it came time for dessert, the date, she abruptly said to Eidelman this question. So, she said, where do you think this relationship's going? He thought, I've known you for 48 minutes. I have no idea. He knew where he was going. He got out of that restaurant as fast as possible after knowing that this is just a little too fast for him, and it probably should be too fast for anyone for her to ask such a question. Or maybe she was looking for him to get out of that restaurant so she could move on to her next date. I don't know all the rationale for that. Define the relationship. The Bible's all about that. It says in the Bible that in the beginning, God defined the relationship. We didn't have to wait around. That in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, the Bible doesn't wait. It tells us right off the bat, that first verse. And today in the Gospel of John, John doesn't wait. John has waited long enough to write the gospel. This is the last of the four gospels to be written. And John and his community in putting together this gospel, some 50, 60, some even say maybe 70 years have gone by since the resurrection of Jesus, and the gospel is written, and as it's written, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the relationship has been defined by God. John points to the beginning of time and says that you've been on God's mind for a long, long time. Personalizes for us today. What I see out of what we have in the Bible today is a reminder of getting back to the basics, and the basic being that when God looked at the universe, God saw that it would be incomplete without you. Have you ever thought about it that way before? The purpose of you. And those who have gone before us and those who are coming, it would be incomplete without you. God is saying yes to you from the beginning of time. Scripture tells us today that God lived with us. There are many English words we use to draw from the actual original Greek word, lived with us, dwelt with us. The actual Greek, that verb about dwelling and living, you've probably heard it before. God's word became flesh, and God pitched a tent with us. That's the meaning of that word. For that word to be used by John, the people would have understood it. The last thing that God wants to do is confuse us, to make it difficult to understand. God wants us to know that God has pitched a tent here with us. I like how Eugene Peterson interprets this verse. He says, the Word became flesh and blood, and God moved into our neighborhood. And we asked, do we really want God to move into our neighborhood? I hope we do. But along with that goes the responsibility of us to follow God in our neighborhood. Calling for action today and not just rest in what is coming for us in the sweet by and by. God has pitched a tent here. God has defined the relationship. Chances are you know how to pitch a tent. I'm not good at it. I grew up in Alabama, and there's a lot of places to pitch tents, but I didn't do a lot of camping early on. The way we would camp is we would go out, and we would go to a campground, and then at night go to the local hotel. And that was just fine by me and my mom. My dad sort of wanted to stay in the tent. He was a good Marine who was used to getting down to the basics. But he went along with it. Pitching a tent. We pitch tents where we want to be. I doubt you've ever gone somewhere to pitch a tent. We were talking about travels earlier and some really tough places to get to. But we go out somewhere to pitch a tent. And I doubt you say, you know, I want to find the worst place possible to pitch this tent. I want it on a slope. I want for there to be all kinds of animals that might come into that tent at night and tear it apart. I want the conditions to be adverse to normality. No. When we pitch a tent, we look around. And what you and I do, we say, that's a pretty level ground. And we say, well, it's got a nice view when you open up the tent. And all of these things that go with it. When God pitches a tent, what God has in mind and God desires is that it's where you are. And where you and I are, sometimes it's on a slope. Where you and I are, sometimes we find ourselves discovering that it's not the most comfortable of surroundings. Where you and I are, we discover that a tent there might mean that we might encounter other dangers. And God says, I'm in. I'm going to pitch a tent with you. God has defined the relationship that we cannot outrun this God and say, maybe I can find a place where God does not exist. Or we might say, I've gone so far. I wanted to exist with God. I want to have God with me, but you don't know what I've done. And God says, tell me. After all, I know what you've done anyhow, but tell me. I want to pitch a tent with you there. And we're, what, 2 days into a new year, and I just wonder how many resolutions are already blown up, you know? I've got 5 resolutions, and 3 are already out the window, so I got 2 to go. We'll see what happens. With God, God is always wanting to be with you. The Bible says in Psalm 139, even if we go to the farthest limits of the sea, there's God right there with us. And it's not just some feel-good statement, you know? Sometimes the Bible can be reduced, try to be reduced to that. Oh, that makes us feel good, we might say. It does. Or others may say about us and our faith, that's just a crutch. And we go, it is. I need it. I lean on it all the time. We realize we're not in control. We realize the one who has pitched the tent, which is for today and forevermore, is the one who will not go back on one's word and will continue to pitch that tent for you. How do you need to know today that God has pitched a tent with what you're battling, with what you're experiencing, with what might happen, and you're wondering about, knowing there's still 363 days left in this year, and perhaps the worries that go along with it, with pandemics and endemics and economies and wars, you name it, this and that. God says, place that in the tent alongside me. It's 2022, and I think the church has a huge responsibility to pitch a tent. When we pitch a tent, it means we're willing to share and define the relationship we have with one another. And in some ways, that begins right here to move outward. The church is learning this more and more every day. That the church is mobile. The church is moving. And that's the intent of the church anyhow. You as the church. It's not the most comfortable of places because with the heat on, as I heard it just now kick back on, and the comfortableness of the pews with the pads, pews, and a place to lean on that will not go away. I'm not going to lean too hard. I'm a big guy. All of this is given to us by God so that we might increase within that and share it with others to define the relationship we have with our neighbor, I know you've heard all of that before, but 2022 is going to offer us new opportunities to do this. Pitching a tent. Tents are movable. Tents are temporary in the sense that they don't always stay in the same spot. Tents are on the move. Remember in the Exodus, Moses pitched a tent, the tent of the tabernacle, the tent of witness. They believed that God resided with them as they needed God in that journey, just as we need God in our journey. So how are we going to pitch a tent this year? Where will we pitch tents this year? Bethlehem Lutheran pitched a tent in Kalispell in 1895. This is your mission outpost. You've now celebrated 126 years of pitching a tent, but realizing that your tent isn't just right here, but instead you've moved beyond. The church is not stagnant. The church is to be sent forth. Because we know that God has already defined the relationship that where you are, God is with you. With that being said, whether we be worshiping at Bethlehem Lutheran this morning, Emmanuel Lutheran in the afternoon, wherever we might be within this world where God has pitched a tent, we know that the greatest gift has been given, that the light of Christ has come in the midst of our darkness, and we light that light. We light the light of hope because the light of hope has been given to us. And the best gifts in life, we've shared a lot of gifts in the last week or so. The best gifts in life are those that are shared. I was looking on your website, and I noticed that you have many mission partners here at Bethlehem, ways in which you are placing tents all over the place in the name of Jesus. One of those is Emmanuel Lutheran Communities. Back in 1957, this is our 65th year we're now going into at Emmanuel. 65 years ago, thanks to Bethlehem Lutheran and others, but a huge thanks to Bethlehem Lutheran, Emmanuel could pitch a tent in the name of Christ. And we have not forgotten what you have done and continue to do. For many who have outlived their means, for those today, as I sit with them and look into their eyes, and I say to them, you are a part of the greatest generation. We will take care of you and yours. But the only way we can do it is if the gifts are shared. Thank you, Bethlehem Lutheran. God gives us this new year, and new years are always about new beginnings. I don't care what year it is, the message is the same, that God's light has shined in the darkness. And did you note what it said after that? It says, the darkness did not overcome it. It doesn't say the darkness may not overcome it, or the darkness, it may have a chance, so let's just check in later. The darkness did not overcome it. Death did not have the final word over the word coming into our world, where oftentimes that is stressed as the last word. God is the last word, the first word in the beginning, the relationship defined to the last word that we have. And if that isn't cause for us to want to pitch more tents, I don't know what is. For us to go where God calls us to go. I thought of something really different you might be able to do this week. When Pastor Scott gets back into town, email him or call him or phone him or stop by pile it on by saying, Pastor Scott, we want to pitch more tents. How can I help? Fill up his email inbox. He'll hate me for it, but fill it up with what God desires and wants for us to do as we define the relationship back to God as the relationship has first been given to us. We seek the light, and the light is God's word. And we seek the word, and the word is God's son. And we seek God's son. And we see him in our midst all the time. Bethlehem Lutheran, God has pitched God's tent here. God is with you. Share the good news that never gets old and continue to celebrate Christmas on this ninth day of Christmas. All glory be to God. Amen.